Welcome to the Heart Rate Variability Podcast. Each week we talk about heart rate variability and how it can be used to improve your overall health and wellness. Please consider the information in this podcast for your informational use and not medical advice. Please see your medical provider to apply any of the strategies outlined in this episode. Heart Rate Variability Podcast is a production of Optimal LLC and Optimal HRV. Check us out at optimalhrv.com. Please enjoy the show. Welcome, friends, to the Heart Rate Variability Podcast. I am here today with someone, I'm going to use the word friend, because we've had hours of conversation, maybe a sister from a different lifetime, just somebody who, you meet professionally and you just click. And I think for me, it's like, boy, this Stephanie White, she can teach me a lot. Basically, since the first time, Stephanie, you and I chatted, I think I brought up being on the podcast right away, because I think the hard part was, what are we going to start with our conversations together? So I am excited to explore the difference between coherence and resonance frequency breathing. And I'll be honest, I don't have a ton of expertise on the coherence side of things. So I am so excited to explore this topic, because two words that can get thrown around a lot, and do we really know what either of them mean? So Stephanie is the perfect person to help us explore this. So Stephanie, before we start to nerd out together, just give an introduction of yourself to our listeners.
Well, hello, I'm Stephanie White. This is a mouthful, but I am saying I am a wearable, data-informed health optimizer. So I'll repeat that. A wearable, data-informed health optimizer. We're wearing these devices, but do we know what they're telling us, or how to use it, or what to do differently as a result? That's my specialty. So that's what I do. I got here by accident. I have been blessed with multiple absolutely bonkers health conditions that are chronic. They've been with me all my life. They're going to stay with me. As a child, if you looked at me cross-eyed, I'd break out in hives. So some form of this has been going on in my entire life, but it really, I should say this too. I've got big T and little T traumas in my background, as well as multiple generational traumas that I inherited from my grandparents. If you ever get me started on their story as children, both my grandmother and my grandfather both had absolutely crazy things happen in their childhood. Stuff you can't dream up. Books, truth is much stranger than fiction. So I've got trauma all over the place in my background. I've got food sensitivities. I've got allergies. I've got all these crazy things. But it all culminated to where I nosedived in 2016 with a breast cancer diagnosis. Double mastectomy. Got lymphedema within 3 weeks, had a hysterectomy within 6 months, was hospital twice after that because my body just went nuts. Then I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, POTS. So at the lowest point, I was walking less than 1,000 steps a day. I was pumping in a pneumatic pump 4.5 hours a day to get my lymph to go back where it belonged. So that was on the lymph side. And I was hooked up to IV saline every night for 2.5 years for my POTS. So I call myself a professional patient as well. And I consider myself blessed to have gone through this experience, because I never would have learned what I've learned if I hadn't have been through it. And I am a master educator. I taught at Virginia Tech for over 20 years. My master's is in instructional design and technology. I'm a person of faith. Can I talk about my faith on here or not?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I'm a person of faith. So every day my prayer was, I promise if you teach me what I need to know to manage these conditions, I will teach any and everybody I can what you show me. So please show me what I need to know. Because what we're doing right now isn't working. We are losing the battle. And the doctors I work with have a 2-year waiting list. So the people that need to see them can't get to them. And if you can't get to the doctor in 2 years, what do you do during those 2 years? So I'm trying to grow an army of health coaches to try to pick up the slack, to give people some answers and some ideas of what to do and how to manage things, because these conditions are manageable. They're not necessarily treatable.
Yeah.
And so it becomes an educational process and not a treatment process.
Mm.
And it's horrible to wait 2 years to find out the doctor can't treat you. They can only educate you. That is really frustrating. That is super duper frustrating.
Can't even imagine. Yeah.
That is really frustrating. So I have learned so much.
Well, I'd love to hear how and when in this journey, and I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. Where did this little biometric called heart rate variability come in, not only to your consciousness, but building expertise around?
Well, it is a really crazy intertwined story. At some point in 2016, I put on a Garmin watch for the first time. And so Garmin incorporated First Beat Analytics into their wearables,
mm-hmm.
that gives you, at the time, it was just stress and recovery. You know, orange and blue graph, blue meant you were in recovery or parasympathetic mode. Orange means you were stressed out or in sympathetic mode. I put on one of those watches. My entire day, 24/7, was orange between the 75 to 100% mark. 24/7. For months. And I didn't know what that meant. So it's like, okay, so here we got Garmin telling me I'm stressed out. And see, at that point, it was like a frog. I had been in that situation for so long. My husband died in 2010. He was an alcoholic before he died. He tried to kill me, had to be removed from the home. Yeah, it had been one thing after the other. I was involved when Virginia Tech had the mass shooting. I've buried 2 nephews. One was stillborn, had to help my sister give birth to a stillborn baby. The other one was medical error. He died before he was 3 months old because of a medical error. I have been through one thing after another in my life. So stress was just something I had 24/7 and just didn't realize the extent to which it was affecting my body. So yeah, I was, the doctors call this persistent sympathetic activation. Your body gets stuck in that mode and doesn't know how to get out.
So just, would that be like vagal break? Like, is it just like not kind of on that much at all?
You get stuck. You get stuck. And it's like your body forgets how to switch. And so my POTS was hyperandrogenic POTS. The doctor told me once your body starts making cortisol, it doesn't know when to stop. And you have trouble clearing cortisol out of your body. So once it's made, you're keeping it around a lot longer than other people are. So you're just like triple whammied here. And so, my body just kind of forgot how to do the basics and needed help to relearn how to reset itself. It was beyond the point of being able to figure it out by itself.
Yeah.
So I learned about Garmin. I learned about First Beat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned about heart math.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started studying everything I could about heart math. And I did their certification program so I could really learn. And I started having conversations with Roland McCready. And Roland was very instrumental in helping me get the chronic fatigue diagnosis with my primary care doctor. He met with me and my doctor for an hour by Zoom, the Zoom equivalent back in the day. And so he was very instrumental in that. And so I need to share one of the aha moments with Roland, because even at that point, people keep saying they want to be more parasympathetic. They want to be more parasympathetic. They want to be more parasympathetic. But even at that point in my life, when I was the worst and the Garmin was saying, I'm stressed out all day, Roland said something really interesting to me. He said, what is your overnight heart rate? And I'm like, you know, 60 something. He's like, you have a parasympathetic nervous system that's working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you know that? He said, because if I were to take your heart out of your body, denervate it,
mm-hmm.
and put it back into your body, you would basically have a 100 beat per minute heart rate consistently. So if overnight you're able to, or at any time during the day, you're able to bring it down below 100,
yeah,
your parasympathetic nervous system is online.
Yeah.
Now, everything might not be working perfectly, but if you can get your heart rate below 100 beats per minute, you have a functioning parasympathetic nervous system. Because if we denervate it, you're going to be at 100 beats per minute. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was interesting. So I learned about heart math. I learned about first beat. At the time, I was trying to keep my head in the game. The name Gewirtz kept coming up on YouTube. So at the time, I was listening to everything I could find from Dr. Gewirtz about her.
Friend of the show, for sure.
Exactly. So that was instant reputation building when I started looking at your podcast. And I see Gewirtz and I see Kazan. Because Kazan, I'm a PhD candidate in applied psychophysiology at Saybrook University. And Dr. Kirsten uses Kazan's videos all the time for case studies and stuff in class. So, you know, I hadn't met Kazan at that point, but I felt like I knew her because I'd seen so many of her videos. So yeah, that was going on. So I became a first beat licensed provider to do 24-hour heart rate variability for folks. And I was trained by Tim Wiles,
mm-hmm.
who's the Renovo Advantage out of South Carolina. He was selling first beat devices to researchers for the VA hospital in Greenville.
Yeah.
So that doctor, Jack Ginsburg, wrote the seminal article on HRV statistics with Fred Schaefer.
Yeah.
And so when Tim stepped out and I stepped in to be the first beat distributor, now I'm the one selling devices to Jack Ginsburg.
That's awesome.
And so Jack is a jewel of an individual. He's one of those people that grows other people. He gives knowledge away freely. So he's an amazing man to be around. All these people whose careers he's grown have all accumulated in Richmond, Virginia to create the Center for Autonomic Excellence.
That's awesome.
And they've hired his son, Ben. So now Richmond, where I am in Virginia, is the hotbed for autonomic excellence. So it's funny how everything goes full circle and all these people come together. That's been fun. That's been a lot of fun.
What a journey.
Yeah.
So you mentioned heart math. And so my understanding of coherence, because I'll share a little bit of my journey to put this in perspective for the readers, because I am a fan of heart math, even though, you know, you can maybe choose in between Optimal HRV and heart math. I've got so much respect for that company. I actually tried to convince them to do HRV tracking. So because I needed that was the, like, you got the biofeedback. I just need the tracking, and I couldn't get any interest in that, which I was trying. I was like, I'll even pay you $5,000 to take a course if you'll track heart rate variability for me. So, you know, so I was originally, my first HRV biofeedback experience may have been Wild Divine back in the day, which wasn't necessarily HRV. It was other biometrics, but I still have a good place in my heart. Then it was like heart math. Then it was frustration. And then Elite was in there, and I was just trying to get, like, I need just good solid tracking based on science. And then you know, once I created Optimal, I knew there was that whole other biofeedback, because we had created a tracking mechanism. I always saw it as an outcome measure for mental health and other providers to watch improvement over time, to get baselines, those pieces. And then that's where I got connected with Dr. Ina Hazan, and maybe not for the first time, but really started to pay attention to resonance frequency breathing, and starting to realize that while it's kind of like coherence kind of seems to live with heart math. I know it, you see it in other places, whereas resonance frequency breathing, it seems different, but kind of the same, and there's overlapping, but there's different goals. So help me, as somebody who knows both sides of this way better than I do, I'd love to hear kind of your definitions and, you know, kind of how you think about these two, I guess, approaches would probably be the right term here.
Right. So this is fun. Let me tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to answer that question. But I need to tell you a quick story first, because this is going to sound like it's not related at all, but I promise I'm going to bring it full circle around. I got to tell you a story. I am a country music fan. And so country music fans know Johnny Cash, and they know June Carter Cash. So June Carter Cash's mom is Mother Maybelle. Mother Maybelle's dad is AP. I know the entire state of Virginia because in my role at Virginia Tech, I had to supervise internships for agricultural students. And they were all over the state.
Yeah.
And I own property in Tazewell County, which is extreme Southwest Virginia, close to where all this happened. AP Carter walked all over Southwest Virginia trying to find music that they could record. Mm-hmm. And so they were one of the earliest country music families. Some people call them the first family of country music. And so about the time they were, you know, really taking off, the U.S. came through and broke up all the radio stations and gave everybody their own little territory. And you had to use a little bitty antenna, and you could only broadcast within your little bitty territory with a little bitty antenna. And all those local radio stations were having such a hard time surviving financially because they were made so small, they shut out country music.
Hmm.
And country music wasn't allowed to broadcast on them. So the Carter family's like, what on earth are we going to do? So they moved from little bitty Southwest Virginia all the way to Texas, sitting right on the Mexican border, because there was this little bitty radio station on the other side of the border in Mexico that was known as a border blaster. Mm-hmm. There were no limits on what size antenna they could use. So if they played at that Mexican radio station, it covered 28 US states plus Canada. And so they could put out the signal that could blast everybody. And that's how country music became so popular and was so easy to pick up. They say cowboys could pick it up with a tin can on barbed wire fences. I mean, it put out a signal that everybody could pick up on. So that's part of the story. Putting out a signal that everybody can pick up on, and putting out a strong signal. That's going to come back in. But let me tell you about the dude that ran the radio station. He had been run out of Texas.
Hmm.
He had a medical degree from what they called a degree mill. It was a fake medical degree. He was running around performing surgeries on men, putting goat testicles in men to cure their impotence. And so on the Texas radio station, he was having these conversations about improving your sex life, and they said it was too risque, so they ran him out of Texas because of what he was saying on the radio. But he was doing surgeries on people, putting goat testicles in men. Later, he got the pantsuit off of him, which should have happened a long time ago. But the reason why I bring up that part of the story, he was a snake oil salesperson. There wasn't any legitimacy to that.
Hmm.
The reason I bring up that part of the story is people think HRV and resonant breathing is equivalent to snake oil salesman. They think it's woo-woo. And it's not science-based and all of this other stuff, and it'll never work. And I say that because I've got doctors who know resonant breathing will help treat the conditions that they deal with, and they're prescribing it to their patients, and their patients aren't doing it because their patients don't believe in it. And until
patients heard of resonant,
believe it, they're not going to do it. So we've got to do a better job at explaining to patients why this is legitimate science and why it can really help them. So that's why I bring that story up.
Fascinating.
You said you're going to put this on YouTube. Can I share my screen for those that are on YouTube? I've got to show you what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Let me make sure it's going to come up. Okay. So I'm known for geeking out. And I know some people can't see this.
Maybe we could get a screenshot for the show notes too.
Yeah. So, I am showing a Kubio screen. And so what happened, it doesn't matter what platform I used. I could have used Optimal HRV. I could have used anything. But as you're breathing and you're wearing some type of a sensor, it picks up your heart rate with every single beat. So let's say my heart beats once and 1,000 milliseconds. Again, it beats a second time. That 1,000 millisecond is the equivalent of 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So if the difference between those beats is 1,000 milliseconds, how many 1 second increments are in a minute? 60 divided by one, I'd have 60 beats per minute. Now, on the other hand, if between those two heartbeats, there were 50 milliseconds, how many times, or 500 milliseconds, how many times can 500 milliseconds go into a full minute? The answer would be 120. So if that's what I was doing, my heart rate would be 120 beats per minute.
Yeah.
So every single time your heart beats, I'm converting the inner beat interval to heart rates. This is showing how my heart rate changes with every single beat of my heart. If it continued to be like that for a full minute, this is what my heart rate would be with every beat of my heart. And so as it's recording these differences in my heartbeats, which is known as the inner beat interval, you're going to see this nice little up-down pattern start to emerge when you get into what's known as respiratory sinus arrhythmia. As you breathe in and as you breathe out, your heart fluctuates and your heart rate increases, and then your heart rate decreases, and your heart rate increases, and then your heart rate decreases. And so when you're breathing at a very smooth, consistent pattern, you get this really nice sine wave, which has all kinds of ramifications when you're talking about laws of physics. All kinds of great things happen when you have a consistent sine wave or pattern. And so what I want to show you is over here on the far left, before I started breathing that nice little pattern, your heart rate tends to be erratic. There is no pattern. And so when I listen in to that radio station that my body's putting out, because that pattern, our body's putting out electromagnetic waves that can be read from the heart as far as 6 feet away.
Mm.
Your brain can only put out information about 8 inches away. But your heart, if you had a fancy dancy listening device, you got your own little radio station that with sophisticated equipment can be read 6 feet away. And so the radio station that I'm putting out here, if you look at down at the bottom at the power spectrum, You and I were talking the other day, and I said, your body's like a supercomputer. And let's pretend I'm going to start this fancy campus for my business, like Apple Computer would do or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say I'm Apple Computer, and I'm making this huge business campus. You know, I've got corporate headquarters in one building. I've got finance in another building. I've got accounting in another building, human resources in another building. I'm going to put a server in all those buildings, but then I'm going to integrate them with a network or with the cloud or whatever. And they're all going to be talking to each other. And so they're going to be sending people, they're going to be sending each other different pieces of information, because you don't know what to purchase if you don't know what your finances are, or who to hire if you don't know what your human resource. They've all got to communicate. So when everybody's doing their own thing in your body, you have all these radio signals coming from all the different body systems. Your heart's doing one thing, your brain's doing one thing, your gut's doing one thing, your blood pressure system's doing one thing. All these signals are going on in your body simultaneously. You have a way to hack your body and to tell all those systems to pay attention. We're going to sing the same song on the same channel right now. Corporate-wide meeting, everybody attend. And when you do that through consistent paced breathing or coherent breathing, all of those signals go to nothing, and you get this one perfect peak at the rate at which you're breathing. This is coherence. Coherence only requires synchronization of two systems to get these amazing impacts. Mm-hmm. And the two systems that you're synchronizing are your heart beating and your respiration. So HeartMath learned this long time ago. And they've got, I don't even know how many studies, thousands of studies that they've done or participated in, of all the benefits you can get just by being coherent.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do, is synchronize your breath and your heart rate. You're coherent and you get all these amazing benefits. And so HeartMath's strength is usually an emotional regulation and intuition and cognitive acuity. And so the psychologist and the psychiatrist and all the health professional, the behavioral health professionals have been all over this with HeartMath.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you've got to do is synchronize two systems to get all of those benefits. And because you're putting out a signal, a radio station signal that other people can pick up on 6 feet away, if you come together as a group, and somebody I know wrote a book that was envisioning a future where institutions become HR savvy. Have you heard of that guy? His name's Matt.
Suspect,
I like
character.
That vision.
He's kind of like that goat testicle salesman. Yeah.
But you know, these businesses, you know, are hiring HeartMath professionals to come in and teach them how to have a coherent workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Because they treat each other nicer.
Yeah.
Because they're more easygoing and they're more intuitive and they come up with better results. There's all kinds of corporate amazing things that happen when you have a coherent workforce that's nice to each other, and intuitive and emotionally regulated. Things just go much better.
So when you hear, I got to ask you this, because one of the things, as I continue to learn from HeartMath, they speak a lot about like maybe coherence with your pet or world coherence.
Oh, yeah.
Is that because
trees are coherent? Yes.
6 foot away from somebody else who's coherent, and like, what is, like, is that we're all breathing at the same rate? Because it seems like it's more than with them. It's transpersonal, and I don't know if I'm using that word right, but like that we could all get in coherence together.
Yes. Yes.
Almost at a spiritual level, but I'm not.
It is kind of at a spiritual level. So, you know, I meet with a group of doctors and researchers every Friday, and some of these researchers have monster belts for horses and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can measure heart rate variability on horses and dogs and cows and pigs and anything you want to measure heart rate variability on. And so when you've got an animal and a human that are attached to each other, when they enter the room and they have that emotional connection, they synchronize with each other. Same things with mothers and infants.
Yeah.
They synchronize with each other. And they've done it with horses. You know, if you're in a special relationship with the horse that knows and trusts you and you've got that bond, you sync with each other. So we have yet to fully understand all the nonverbal communications that are going on, body to body, entity to entity. Trees have signals. So HeartMath has invested in all this technology to read the earth signals. Yeah. They've got listening posts because these are radio stations, basically. They've got listening posts set up throughout the world to read the earth signals and the tree signals and everything else that's going on to see if, you know, where, how coherent things are. Because different things can happen that throw things off. A perfect example is the magnetic impact on airplanes. They have to have sophisticated equipment that can make minute changes to keep them going in the right direction as different things change earthwise. They read those changes and make minute adjustments to keep them going in the right direction. If they didn't, they wouldn't make it to their destination. So there's things going on that we don't totally comprehend, but they're happening and you have to adjust for them. And so we're only just beginning to scratch the surface of how that all works.
Cool.
But we know it's there. And it's kind of like, have you ever been sitting in a room and maybe your back's towards the door, but you just feel something?
Mm-hmm.
And you turn around and that person just entered the room. You didn't hear them. You didn't see them, but you knew they were there. You pick up on their energy.
Yeah.
You pick up on their energy. You know, I've got clients that'll come to me and I'll measure their HRV. And so, for example, right here, my low frequency energy is 1400. And I'm going to get to it in a minute, but over here, it's like 3176, doubled. I've got clients that go to Chinese medicine and energy practitioners, and their energy practitioners tell them, your energy is this big. It's right here in your chest, and it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they come to me, and I measure it, and I'm like, your energy is this big. And they're like, I just heard that from somebody else. And I'm like, I can measure it. They're right. I don't know how they know it, but I can measure it scientifically.
So cool.
It is way cool. Totally way cool. And by the way, as this energy diminishes, that lower energy is completely correlated with fatigue, severity, and chronic fatigue syndrome. So it's like your light is literally going out.
Yeah.
And the weaker it gets, the worse you are. So not letting your light go out and keeping an eye on your power and growing your power and expanding it over time is really important if you want to have optimal health and longevity, which a lot of people seem to want to do these days.
Yeah.
Kind of important. So yeah, to be coherent, you only have to synchronize two systems.
Can you talk a little bit about, when you say synchronize those two, so my experience with HeartMath is I got a pacer, I'm breathing at that pacer, and that helps me get in coherence. Am I on the right track with that, how we sync that up?
Okay. So, people can be coherent across a wide range of paces. So if you get someone breathing 10 breaths a minute, 60 divided by 10 would be 6 second cycles. I get people to do equal in and out. So if it's a 6 second cycle and you divide it by 2, that'd be 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out.
Yep.
If you just slow your breathing down, typical breathing is 15 breaths per minute. So if you slow it down to like 10 breaths per minute, 3 in, 3 out, or then you can start to be coherent. And that gentle oscillation of breathing in and breathing out at the same pace is going to start the rhythm that your breathing and your heart picks up on. and you start to get coherent.
Oh.
And so as soon as you start that rolling pattern of equal inhale, equal out exhale, you're going to start establishing that sine wave pattern that your heart picks up on, and they become synchronized. And okay. That's when you are coherent. And everything else, all the other radio signals calm down, and you just get that one beautiful peak.
Gotcha. We're probably talking pretty, we're increasing low frequency for the HRV nerds.
Yeah, we're in the low frequency bandwidth okay. at that point. You're always in the low frequency bandwidth. And for the geeks, I'm just going to look it down here. It's between 0.04 and 0.15 hertz is the low frequency bandwidth. High frequency is 0.15 and above. Mm-hmm. And don't let it fool you. Some of the people that I work with that have chronic health issues, they've got power above 0.4. So I'm advocating to start reporting very high frequency.
Yeah.
In some applications, they report ultra low frequencies. I'm advocating we need to start reporting very high frequencies.
Fascinating.
So when I'm running calculations, I go all the way up to 2. 2 is overkill. But I am an advocate for starting to look at and understanding very high frequency. And so, yeah, that's the low frequency range that we're talking about. So here's what I want to show you. This is a 16-minute recording. I was using a special software program that varies each breath minutely. So the breaths get longer and longer and longer as I'm doing this entire recording. So in this first 3-minute bandwidth, am I coherent? Yes, I've got that single high peak. What's my power? 1400. Jump over 3 minutes. Am I still coherent? Yep. What's my power? 1600. It's going up.
Mm-hmm.
Come look over here. The next 3-minute segment in a row. Am I still coherent? Yep. What's my power? 1700. Let's look at this 3-minute peak. Am I still coherent? Yep. What's my power? 3176.
Yeah.
Over here, I was at 1400. Over here, I'm at 3176. This is what I call a border blaster. I'm the Mexican radio station with the huge antenna putting my signal out as far and wide as I possibly can. I've got maximum power.
Gotcha.
That's when you're resonant.
Okay. So you're coherent throughout this, but resonance is
throughout it.
Okay.
I'm coherent throughout it. So in some of the amazing training I've listened to from Ina Kazan, she'll say things like, you know, our goal is to get people familiar with the techniques so we can wean them off of technology as quick mm-hmm. as possible. The good news is you can be weaned off technology. You can be sitting in your car doing it from memory, counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're getting amazing benefits. But if you want the benefits that accrue from being resonant, you're probably going to want to use technology just about all the time for your resonant practice.
Yeah.
And so my doctors are prescribing 20 minutes a day, at least once a day, of resonant breathing.
Yeah.
Building your way up to 2 times a day, once in the morning, once in the night, of resonant breathing. And when you're resonant breathing, you're using technology assisted pacing so that you're at your perfect rate for your body. And so when you're doing that, I think you need technology to help you maintain that resonant pace and determine where your maximum power is, because that you can't do that on your own. It's kind of hard.
In our a few episodes ago now, Josh Merchant came on. He did a really interesting study about resonance versus box versus 4-7-8 breathing, and one of their findings was nobody's breathing at the rate they think they're breathing at. So
exactly,
I am one of those that, like, whether I got a band on, whether I just need the pacer there, because I know I'm one of those people. Like, I'll have a thought and I'll be delayed. So I can do it. I got my mantras, but how accurate they are is, I would say, very, very low. So,
yep. Yeah. So bringing this story back around, this is not snake oil. This is science-based. Guess what's happening when you get that pop of power and you're resonant? You're synchronizing three systems.
Yeah.
So the law of physics, the more things you synchronize and get oscillating at the same time, the higher the amplitude of the power.
Yeah.
They multiply each other. To the extent that if a military army approaches a river with a bridge and they're marching in cadence, they have to break cadence before they go over that bridge, because marching in cadence an entire army over a bridge will break the bridge down. Bridges have collapsed because armies have marched across in cadence with each other and destroyed it. That's how powerful being in resonance is.
Fascinating.
Totally fascinating. Yeah. It's important, heavy duty stuff that can make changes in your body and the universe around you if you want to do that too.
Yeah.
And so the power, the peak power, is when you get three systems. And so the system that's setting the pace for your body is your baroreflex system.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have the most to do with your height. Some of us are a lot taller than others. I've seen your picture up against everybody else at the biofeedback conference.
Yeah.
So your height is the biggest determining factor in your magical resonance frequency, but it can change with your health situation. Mm-hmm. It can change with age. And it's different by sex. You know, men and women are completely different. They have found no differences by ethnicity so far. So different things can change it. Some people will say, once you determine your resonance frequency, it's a one and done. I don't subscribe to that. And there's at least one blood pressure study that shows, you know, they benefited from resetting every 2 weeks in a 10-week study. And so if you are not of optimal health and you start a new practice, I think you need to recalibrate at least once every 1 to 2 weeks. You can't hurt anything by recalibrating.
Right.
And while you're recalibrating, it counts as practice.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you've got to practice for 20 minutes, why not use 6-10 minutes of it to recalibrate? It counts as practice.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't hurt anything. So the message I'm trying to get out to folks, if you're going to spend 20 minutes doing coherent breathing, why not go the extra step and just go ahead and be resonant?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost you any more time.
Yeah.
And the results are going to magnify. You know, people come to me wanting the most results in the least amount of time. And if that's what you want, you need to be doing it at your resonance frequency. That's how I can get you those results. I can get you there one day if you're coherent. And I can get you a lot of amazing benefits if you're coherent. But if you want the most benefits, you might as well be resonant.
Wow. That is the greatest explanation I have ever. I haven't heard very good explanations on this, but now I believe you explained it in a way that, you know, one included goat testicles, which I gotta give you. Somebody's a sucker for
How
a good
many
story.
People can put goat testicles in their story?
Yes, I am that person. But I think this is just fascinating because, again, we throw these terms around, and even resonance frequency. I think a lot of folks who just said, okay, this is a better approach. This is the best approach we have with the tools we have. Don't necessarily go and say, this is how these two things are interrelated, because you do see coherence thrown around quite a bit in the literature. And I know there's some people who's published who's like, they're doing resonance, but if you don't mention coherence, you're not going to get published, which I think is interesting, politics and all of this too. But it's interesting how you bring these two schools really together. And just differentiate a small but important difference between those, because I'm assuming all the benefits of coherence comes in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have, and I'm not asking you to speak for a heart math, but is there a reason like heart math wouldn't go into the resonance frequency side of what they do as
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And so let me share a couple of things. Some people get freaked out by numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of heart math clientele is coming to it for the emotional regulation benefits. So if you are dealing with a patient or a client who's already got a precarious mental health status, you don't want to stress them out with numbers.
Yeah.
So you want to start out with the easiest thing possible that they can be the most successful with and accrue a reasonable amount of benefits. You want to meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to meeting people where they're at and getting them some bang for their buck, that's the place to take them.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with someone like me who's sicker and needs results, physiological results, or you're dealing with a CEO who's used to dealing with a lot of data anyway, because you can't manage what you can't measure.
Right.
So if you're dealing with a CEO biohacker, you better believe they want to know how to get the biggest bang for their buck. And they don't care about the numbers. Numbers aren't going to mess with them one way or the other.
Right.
So you kind of have to figure out where your client's at and what they can handle and meet them where they're at. And so that's why a lot of people are hiding the numbers in their apps, because people just don't want to see them. You know, HeartMath in their new app hid the numbers. And all the old users freaked out and said, hey, you need to make it a toggle. Yeah. You know, for the people who can't handle the numbers, hide them. But for the people who want the numbers, we need to be able to get them. Mm-hmm. So they had to go back to accommodate their old users. But you absolutely need to meet people where they're at. Some people, the numbers make them nervous.
Yeah.
And there is such a thing as relaxation anxiety. And so the act of just changing your breathing is foreign to some people. And so, you know, it's one of those disclaimers. Don't try this at home by yourself. You really should be working with a professional or a coach that has some training in this area, because some people have relaxation anxiety and it's an awkward process and they need someone to gently progress them to the point where they're resonant. They just can't get there from where they are today.
Yeah.
And it's like training a dog. You know, you don't train a dog to do the final thing you want them to do. You get them one step closer and you reward them every step. They get closer to the goal until they get to the goal, but they don't get to the goal on day one.
Yeah.
And so that's why clients can benefit from a professional that knows a little bit about this to help them get them from point A to point B.
Awesome. Great point. Well, let's say they want to work with a professional, Stephanie White, where might they find some, information about you? Obviously we'll put this on the show notes too, but just for somebody that might be listening and is ready to reach out, how would they get a
hold? I really appreciate you asking. My website is measurableresilience.com. So you can check out the website there.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting ready to do some really new things and offer some new classes and some new Zoom and coaching opportunities. I'm opening a physical office space in Richmond, Virginia, July 1.
Congratulations.
And I will also be doing Zoom classes starting, you know, early in July. I have multiple health conditions and I have a new diagnosis of myasthenia gravis. I am physically only capable of working 15 hours a week. So I'm being teamed up with a full-time virtual assistant from the Philippines who's going to be helping me out. And I'm training health coaches to do the work I want to do but can't do. So I've got 6 coaches training under me right now. And so I will be creating an army of health coaches that can help people learn how to do this. So my email address is swhite@measurableresilience.com. Anybody can email me, because you won't find all the information on the website yet about what's coming. So it's probably easiest to email me if you want more information. I do specialize in 24-hour heart rate variability. And just to do a little bit of a teaser of what I'd like for our next podcast to be about, I can measure when people are in a chronic state of overbreathing for multiple hours a day awesome. With my 24-hour heart rate variability measures. And I think I can change the way medicine is practiced if we can get this tool used in mainstream medicine, because we're losing the battle on metabolic health. 92% of people in the US have one or more metabolic health risk factors. And I think I know why. And I think it gets back to us not doing the, you know, I was telling you, you know, I run a foundational health coach certification program. And by foundation, I mean, we're not getting the basics right.
Yeah.
The things we do the most are our heart beating, how many times do we breathe a day? How much fluid do we intake a day? How much food do we intake a day? You know, if we focus at the things we do the most or have the most impact on our body, and if we get those right, our health could really, really change. I'm raising, you know, trying to put together an army of health coaches to do foundational health. And nobody else I know is talking about foundational health. All you need is a 24-hour heart rate variability monitor and a CGM, and you can make all kinds of changes in your health.
I love it. So we'll put all those information and links in the show notes. Stephanie, like I said, it's an honor to call you a friend and a colleague.
You too as well.
In this work. And I look forward to that next chance where we can hit record. Sometimes we just hit record anyway on our conversations because I need to go back and listen to them. So my friend, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all our listeners as well. As always, you can find show notes at optimalhrv.com, and we'll put the information there. I'm going to get screenshots from Stephanie about the charts that we use because it really helps you with this conversation. Stephanie, thank you so much, and I'm already looking forward to our next talk.
Thank you, Matt. It's been fun.
Thank you.